Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
At BetOnline continue to be your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon Finals, Major League Baseball, all the latest fighting news, and this season's NFL. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BLEAV to get the bonus and get into action. Bet online where the game starts.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Private Talk Podcast with Alexis of Texas. We are back season four, and today we have Morgan Lee on the couch.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to Private Talk. I'm excited to get to know you a little bit better. You're an adult film star. Now you are a boxer. You kind of like changing things in your life. So I want to know past, present, future, all of those things, and get to know you a little bit more intimately.
Cool. I would love to share that with you.
So how are you?
I'm doing really, really good. I can't complain.
So, I like that. We kind of touched base. We kind of talked on Instagram, mm-hmm. where it's like one of those things where, you know, you meet so many people in the industry for, you know, as long as that we've been in the industry, yeah. but you kind of maybe said hi, or we're with the same agency, or you kind of know, you know, third party friends, but sometimes we don't, as women, get to really talk to people.
Yes.
And also I think it has a lot to do with who we were at those times, you know, growing up in the business where, you know, mm-hmm. we were really young. Sometimes, you know, things you don't know who's intimidating to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of people, you know, told me, it was like, well, I didn't know how to talk to you. And it's like, just say hi, you know what I mean? So it's those intimidating things where it's like breaking those boundaries and like having real conversations and mm-hmm. getting to know the real you and getting to know, you know, the business side of you. And so much I've seen from, you know, my side looking in with you is mm-hmm. the growth of where you were in the beginning mm-hmm. to what I've seen the last 2 years, which I think is really cool to see. And, you know, because you're so vulnerable with your story and mm-hmm. how you are with, you know, your life, I think speaks a lot of volumes of mm-hmm. a woman like yourself, is because you don't get enough credit and give yourself pat on the back, is that it takes a lot to be vulnerable. It mm-hmm. takes a lot. So, you know, one thing to be an adult film star mm-hmm. show, you know, who you are sexually and all these things, mm-hmm. but there's things underneath there that you either had to discover yourself, mm-hmm. went through, and kind of like pushed you into the direction that you are now.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So can we talk about, like, you know, from the beginning?
Yes. Oh yeah. And also I want to say, it's funny that you were mentioning how, you know, we get afraid to like approach us girls in the industry, because I honestly didn't want to approach you because I was intimidated, because I was like, oh my god, it's Alexis Texas. Everybody was always like, oh my god, it's Alexis Texas. Whenever she go on stage, all of us are like super stoked to see you. And like, for some reason, I never had the courage to come up and introduce myself until, you know, over the past, what, 7 years, I built the confidence finally.
Yeah.
But, you know, so to backtrack to getting, you know, like into the industry, you know, is that kind of where you wanted me to start with, like, how
you
I got in?
However you want. However, okay. I feel like, you know, I think it's, you know, journeys of, you know, however you want to. Where do you feel like, you know, you kind of started, and like really the progression of, like, did you have a good time? Were you forced into things? Were you like, did you know right away when you got into the industry, like where you wanted to take your career? Was it just young, dumb, and full of cum like myself? Like I had no direction. I just liked what I was doing. Like kind of tell us about that.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll say this. So when I first like moved to LA, like, I was like a super Christian girl when I got here, so I didn't really know anything. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska originally. And, you know, long story short, to sum it up, like, I had kind of gotten involved with people out here at a young age that kind of steered me in the wrong direction. I was in a really bad place where, you know, I had really no help at a certain time. So it was,
now, was this before you got into the industry and why it influenced you to get into the industry?
Yes. Okay. So this is how I got in. Yeah. And, you know, when things are not going the way you want them to, you're struggling, you don't know what to do. You know, you got to do what you got to do. And when I was going to hair school at the time, there was actually girls who were in the industry who were trying to get out of it.
Okay.
And that's why they were going to hair school. So, you know, a few of them mentioned, you know, a few things about it. And, you know, getting curious. I'm asking questions. And
had you been like an avid like porn watcher yourself?
Did no,
you
even know anything really.
About it?
Or? No, okay. No, I was were pretty you, prude.
Okay,
yeah.
So you weren't even sexually like over sexually stimulated yourself at the time.
I would say like as an average like high schooler, you know, like I was fucking, okay. you know, but yeah, yeah. it wasn't like I was like. Into porn like yeah. that, but like, you know, I was a partier and I was definitely having fun, but not to a degree like of what we were doing in our industry.
Okay.
So when she's telling me all these things, you know, the one thing that really got my interest was money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just like thinking, oh, these beautiful girls, blah, 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 this lifestyle, I'm already kind of around people who do stuff like mm-hmm. that. You know, and then I'm like, I'm holding back for my own personal reasons, yeah. like of going into that.
So what were your personal reasons holding back?
Being a believer okay. at the time okay. is where I was at. Like, you know, I was a Christian girl. Okay. I was like, this is going against all morals. So it was morals. A sin. Yes.
Okay.
Morally, I was like, this is so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So when though, you know, things got real bad and I really had no options at the time, I just was like, fuck it, like I gotta do what I gotta do.
Mm-hmm.
So again, long story short, I wanted to do like one scene and then be done, like nobody find out. I just need really quick money. I thought even like $1,000 was like so much to me, like $500 was so but much to me.
I mean, you know, to I mean yeah. that one time it is a lot of money,
yeah, because you know? Like I'm making a freaking Cheesecake Factory like $200 a week,
yeah,
you know, and I'm like,
you're busting your ass,
yeah,
you're
going, like, this isn't working, yeah. like, you know, just couch hopping, stuff like that. And I was like, fuck this. So, you know, did that one scene and then I was like, no one's gonna find out, I'm not gonna do this again. But when I got that check, when I say, I just was like, holy fuck, like I've never had this much money in my hand right now before. I just got sucked in like this.
So what at that moment would you think that you would describe that feeling? Did you feel like powerful? Did you feel like, you know, fuck it, like, you know what I mean, like this is a lot of money and you'll do whatever, like, because I think it's a, you know,
it was an adrenaline rush.
Okay,
yeah.
So you got off to the fact that, did you enjoy what you did?
No, not really. I okay, was freaked
so you
the
were,
fuck out.
So you were only satisfied until you had the money.
Yes.
Okay, so yes. it was like, it was a money-driven
totally,
situation. Okay.
Totally.
So from that point, where does that go? Because you said you only want to do it one time,
yeah.
but the money is good. Like you said, you did it. You may not have enjoyed it at that time, but you know, you could be like, okay, maybe I can learn to like it,
yes.
whatever the situation is. So where do you go from there?
So that's kind of what it was I was like, oh, I'm just going to like kind of keep going with it. And like, you know, if I really don't like it, then... you know, I'll be done. But, you know, the more money came in, even though, like, I was forcing myself, I was really forcing myself to do these scenes because I felt super uncomfortable. Even people who knew me, when they slowly started finding out, they would literally tell me, they're like, yo, like, you can tell you do not like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the drugs came in.
Okay.
So when I started doing it, you know, I don't know if you remember, do you remember Clover?
Mm-hmm.
The guy I dated that mm-hmm. we had that thing happen,
mm-hmm.
He's the one who got me into the drugs.
Okay.
So when he got me into the drugs is when I really was like completely fucked up in this whole industry. Like I was like, oh, I'm making money, I'm substance abusing while being abused, all this kind of shit, and then I'm sucked into this fucking world.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't have
so
anything else.
So was he controlling that, or were you still at this point controlling yourself being in the industry because he was doing it himself too, so it felt like you were just kind of like going along with what the flow was, and then you're highly medicated of what's
yeah.
going on, and then yeah. obviously we have abuse in the situation, and then that's yep. not great for any situation.
Yep. It was literally all that. Like I literally like was just falling into these like things that were so new that I'm like, oh, like this isn't gonna be like that bad, and then once it happened I'd be like, holy fuck, like this is crazy that this is like really what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely was following footsteps of people who I thought, you know, had names in the industry,
mm-hmm.
you know, who are manipulating me to do things and, you know, just, you know, kind of take me down that path that you don't want to go down.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, when you get into porn you kind of either can stay like on a good path,
mm-hmm.
or you can really veer off and really get into like the drugs type situation, which is like the path I started going down.
Okay.
And then when that all started happening and like the whole Clover thing happened, I literally
do you want to indulge? I mean, what the Clover thing happened is.
Yeah, I can. I don't. You know,
you don't have to go into obviously detail, but I don't know if the fans know, or if you want to just like touch briefly on what that means to you, because I feel like in some way, full circle, where you are now in your journey is a big part of that. So just touching on of like, I feel like why I have a lot of.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Not that that's one of the only reasons, but empathy of your strength of where you've come where you're going is having those things to kind of talk about and shed light on if you feel comfortable.
Yep, totally. So when like the Clover thing happened, you know, he was just a very abusive relationship person. I mean, I wasn't the only girl. He did it to Jen too, that makeup artist who was in the industry. And I didn't believe what she was telling me at the time. So, you know, I started being manipulated by somebody who really knew what they were doing on how to take advantage of somebody. And, you know, this guy made it seem like he was the greatest guy ever, you know, sucked me in, and then out of nowhere just completely flips the switch and just becomes the most abusive. I can't even explain how abusive this person was. It was to the point where it traumatized me so bad, where, you know, I've struggled with OCD and getting hit in the face, stuff like that, where I didn't go to therapy because I was so like fucked up from everything. Like, I was just like, how could like a human do this to somebody?
Yeah,
you know. And the face thing was like a huge thing for me. Like, I couldn't even, you know, just recently, I'll get into it, but with the OCD thing, you know, I couldn't touch my face for 5 years, and it was so hard on me because I was like, I couldn't understand why I couldn't touch my face. I so scared of people touching me. I felt dirty. I couldn't stop washing my hands. Just everything like really fucked me up. And he really affected me with men, how I viewed men, how I thought people could treat somebody. I was in shock that somebody could do that to somebody. And you know, he literally almost killed me that day at AVN, and I never like recovered from it. I just ignored it, and I ignored it. I've been ignoring it. And then I, you know, after that happened, I ended up getting in a good relationship with somebody, and they started letting me see like a better side of things, and I started getting healthy. And, you know, his name is Romeo Price. I don't know if you remember him.
I don't.
He was an adult performer. Guy, yeah. Okay. And so I started getting healthy, whatever, but then I started, you know, really like working, like, because I was like, you know, if I'm gonna be in this, I was like, I gotta do this. And like,
and at this point, did you start to enjoy it more for yourself? And it wasn't just for the money, or actually, I mean, money, I was obviously the motivator, but it's like, at this point, before you, when you started, you like, you didn't like it,
but did
you start to like a point of where the sex was going?
And because like, when things started clearing up and I could like heal a little bit, and like when I could like understand what I was doing and like really like start seeing what's going on, I was like, okay, this isn't that bad. I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, then I need to take care of my body. I need to act right when I'm on set. You know, I have to treat this as like, it's a fucking job. Yeah. And really get my shit together. And, you know, cause I was like, if I don't, I was like, I would hear all these stories about girls fading off. And, you know, and then they shoot these five scenes and they're done. I'm like, if that happens to me, I was like, I'm screwed. And honestly, it was crazy. After the Clover thing happened, it's kind of like, I mean, bad publicity, I guess, is good. But it had people start reaching out to me because they want to know who I was. So people, like, wanted to start shooting me. So when, you know, I started having all these things happen, I just was like, fuck it, let's do it. Let's go. I got into that hustler mentality where I just
full throttle.
Yeah, I was like, let's do it. Like, let's make my name. Let's build it. So,
your name, but you had another name prior to, no?
Nope, just Morgan. Just Morgan? And then Kimchi. Like, okay, I do that for like my social media.
Okay, but type. For porn, it's always just been Morgan. Okay. So you decided to go full throttle.
Yes.
Did you start in dating this new performer?
Yes.
Did you that make you feel a little bit more safe to like do these types of scenes that you were doing and kind of like having the backing and support of somebody like behind you?
For sure.
And are you still currently doing scenes? I know that you know, now are starting to box and do stuff, but is there a place to do both?
Yeah. So, you know, I got to the place where now I don't do boy girl because, you know, I'm seeing someone, and you know, out of respect, I don't do like
same boy performer girl. Or is it different?
No, different person. Okay. But like, you know, for me, when I was in the industry dating somebody, like I actually got lucky finding a partner in that industry who could guide me to do it the right way, rather than if I wouldn't have had that person, I probably would have completely fucked my whole shit up.
When you say the right way, what is the right way in that scenario of vices by yourself when you were, obviously the drugs is, take that part out of it, but what is the right way
learning to
corrected?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, I meant to say learning to invest in myself.
Okay.
Just in every area, like physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, all of it. Like I was like, I didn't really know how to do anything. So when I had somebody like kind of like take my hand and teach me these things, I was like, oh, this is way better than what I thought it was, you know? Like you just see like a better side.
For sure.
And then I was like, oh, the industry isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. And then I started meeting more beautiful people, you know, that really started wanting to become a part of my life.
Yeah.
And that's when like it started becoming really fun. You know, like I started like I needed to give it a chance, you know, like at first I didn't want to, I had a bad experience, and then I was like, if I just give it a chance, let's just see.
Yeah.
And when I did, I was like, it was fucking awesome because I met so many cool people, literally like in the industry, outside of it, like got to do like the funnest things that, you know, most people will never get to say that they've done. Because this industry, you know, if you do it, like I said, a good, right way, and you have a good head on your shoulders, it brings so much opportunity. Like, I see so many of my girlfriends, like, thriving, who, like, started when I started or before, who are just becoming such empowering women. And to have, like, my friends, like, in this industry, like, really, like, impact the world right now, like, I am so supportive of it. Like, I think it's so awesome. So
yeah, I love that about you girls. I feel like your type of, or the time frame that you ladies have come in this, and it's one of those things where it's kind of like, I make the joke of like, I haven't been shooting in the industry for quite some time. So it's like, there's a lot of these girls that are around for a while now that I don't know their name, but they're like been around for a long time and they have these names. But I feel like your like class of girls or like the last girls that I kind of really knew, like where you are now, and each, every one of you guys have done so many great things. And it's cool to see. It's kind of like, I'm like, I don't know if it's the auntie like or the like big sister thing, but it's cool to see. And like, I'm definitely like a cheerleader from the other side, but it's also I love having you girls on the show and getting to know you a little bit more, is because again, going back to the conversation, is like a lot of times each person's business and how our career path is different in a lot of ways. You know, we all pick different things, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but you know, ebbs and flows in life is what life is about. You know, and how we learn from those mistakes or learn from those lessons and things like that and move forward is how, you know, what takes perseverance and shows like the ownership and adultness of who you are as a woman. And so that's why I commend you for being so vulnerable about stages in your life, about, you know, from drugs to bad boyfriends and you know, and you know, abuse and things like that, where it's like real things like that happen to everyday people. And not enough people speak about it because we hold things sometimes in because we are afraid or ashamed or things of those things. But I also think it's a healing place where it's like, if the more you talk about it, the more strength that you can get from it to knowing that it was never your fault. It's, you know, everybody's journey is completely different from whichever way you pick, but you, you know, you choose your battles the way you want, and you, you know, survive them the way that you were meant to be, you know? And I think that it just speaks, you know, volumes of you now changing and trying to do fighting. And, you know, following your kind of peace in that. Can you speak about, like, how you kind of found that new passion and where you're going with that?
Yeah. So, another, like, kind of short story from all this. So, I'd say, like, last year, I was in a really crazy fucked up place again. I was, like, really... This is probably the worst I'd ever been in a very long time. It was a year ago. And I was super... on drugs, like heavy. whippets really heavily, and Xanax and drinking.
That's
and,
like the can't like
yeah,
the
Nas okay, thing. Okay. I was doing like, I'm not even fucking around. I was probably doing like 400 a day for like months straight.
400, what does that mean?
Like little canisters. Little disposable cartridges to reuse.
Okay.
So I would just fucking hit that thing till I woke up, till I fall asleep.
What does it do for you? Is it
it's
like...
It's a head high.
Okay.
It's like... And the thing is it's that kind of high that you can't get again, so you keep doing it till you try and get it.
So you just wanted to mask whatever was in your situation right now.
So...
Or at the time.
Yes. And when I say everybody noticed it. Mm. Social media, everybody was. All my friends, nobody wanted to be around me anymore. It was probably the most loneliest I've ever been. I was literally falling apart and I couldn't stop. Like, literally, like, my best friend got to a point where she was like, I can't be around you anymore. Mm. Everybody in my family, they were like, this is... And I literally was, like, ready to go. I was like, I'm done. I don't fucking care. I was like, I didn't feel like I had any purpose. I felt like I kept failing at everything. And nothing was getting better. So I was like, fuck this. I was like, I'm ready. I was like, I don't need to keep going. I was like, experienced life already, whatever. So
what made you snap out of it?
So I didn't wake up for like almost 3 days. Mm-hmm. And I woke up, and when I say my face was so fucked up, my face had this weird crazy rash thing on it, and I was like, oh my god, I was like, I had never seen myself like this, and I looked so disgusting that I just literally was like, I couldn't stop crying. I was like, I ruined my face. I was like, I can't live. Like, you know, I just started panicking. I'm like, what the fuck? And my body felt so deteriorated. Like, I couldn't even, like, breathe properly. Like, everything just was weird. And I was like, if I don't fucking stop, I was like, I'm gonna die. I was like, I was like, oh my god, I didn't just die right there. Like, so I literally was like, done. I was like, we're not doing it again. I was like, get it the fuck together.
Yeah.
Because nobody even wanted to help me. Like, nobody even cared. So I was like, fuck it. I was like, I literally had one shot. I was like, if I don't fix this shit, I was like, I'm gonna fuck myself. So I just decided that day to literally cut everything off. Literally all the drugs. I didn't go to therapy. I didn't go to nothing. I was just like, let's just get it done. And I started doing it. And when I stuck with it, like, each day just started getting easier and easier and easier. And I was able to just, next month will be my year sobriety.
Awesome.
Yes. So congratulations. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah,
so
that's a big accomplishment.
A huge one for me. So, yeah.
Now, when you say sober, is that everything, alcohol, weed?
So, I do hit the weed sometimes. Okay. I'd say for me, it's like hardcore drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
So, yeah, anything like pills, all that stuff, haven't touched in a year. Drinking, haven't touched in a year. Like I said, I'll smoke here and there. But, you know, it helps me a lot sometimes, you know, so that I don't fall back into the hard
for sure
stuff.
I mean, I think that everybody's, you know, battle is probably a little bit different. So it's like knowing what you really need and, like, you know, kind of giving you your grace, you know, with all that happening.
Totally.
You know, it's like, you know, if you need weed a little bit, you know, then, you know, wean yourself out. And eventually, if you may not need it, maybe, you know, it depends on what, you know, what you're into at that time.
Totally.
But how do you think that... that kind of like process like got you to
the boxing?
Yeah.
So, you know, so when I started wanting to get healthy, I started getting to a place where I was like, oh, I want to get into fitness. So I was like, oh, I'm getting healthy, you know, I'm getting into a good place. I was like, fitness is kind of like the route that I think I want to go. So when I started doing that, it just kind of naturally started flowing. Like, I was getting healthy, I started looking good again, like, you know, people
You are like naturally into like kind of fitness before?
Yeah. Always have been.
Okay.
And sports.
So it just came natural.
Yes.
Okay.
So when that was happening, you know, I was like, oh, this is going to be like the route that I want to do. And then one of my friends just hit me up who had already been in the Misfits boxing. And he just was like, hey, do you want to do this? I thought about it and I was like, nah. I was like, I don't know if I want to. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, couple months later, you know, I get asked again, and then I'm like at a place where, and this is what, like probably 4 months ago,
okay,
where I was like, you know, I really was like, do I want to switch my career and like go full force into something else? And I'm a risk taker, so I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. So I was like, okay, let's do this. I moved to Long Beach, you know, just a couple months ago, and then found this gym that I was going to. And then I knew too, this is the crazy thing with the OCD and the drugs and all this shit that goes into this boxing thing. So like during the boxing thing, I was like, I don't want to get hit in the face. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's no way. I was like, I can't stand it.
Triggers to you.
Trigger. I won't even let anyone touch my face.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, how am I going to get hit in the face? So I was like, I just need to learn how to dodge everything.
It can make you madder. Yeah. And make me be like, you know, here's my target. Exactly. If you touch me, we're going to go crazy.
So, yeah. So like, you're thinking that, but this is the thing is like, you know, when you're training, you're actually are getting hit by stuff. So like, you know, I would have these panic attacks where I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting hit in the face. Cause I would have to like, if I got touched by something immediately, my OCD would be, I have to go shower. I have to wash my face. I got to wash my hands. Anything that touched my face, I'd have to go do a routine. So for me, I'd be like freaking out that I got to go and do this. So I'm like really not wanting to get hit. And then like one day, like the OCD thing, like I don't know how to explain it, but it was like such like a spiritual thing. One day I literally like went on my Instagram and I was like, because people knew because I talked about it before, yeah, with the soap thing like 2 years ago. And I was like, guys, I was like, I think I'm genuinely done with this fucking soap. Like, because I have been.
I love that.
Yeah, like I have been fighting and.
I'm sure it's liberating. You know what I mean?
It was so liberating. Like I had the confidence because I was like, I have to fight. I was like, if you can't fight and get hit in the face and learn how to touch your face again, I was like, you're never going to move on and learn. So I was like, dude, let's fucking do it. Girl, the soap thing, like, I haven't done it since.
Good
like,
for you.
It's fucking crazy. I know, it's such a weird thing, but
at the end of the day, it's not weird. I think that it's obviously that there's vices on certain things and reasons why we put those in place. You know what I mean? And that is something that your journey, unfortunately, had to go through, whatever. Yeah. But the fact of being aware of what that was, giving it grace and being like, this is what it was. And also just continuing to do it when you needed to do it. But then now learning and finding something that's replacing those things to making you feel empowered, making you feel to the point that I don't need this. I have myself. Yes. I have, you know what I mean? Like I need to do this other thing and this is in my way.
Totally.
And at the end of the day, it's a lesson of learning that the only thing that's in our way is ourselves.
Totally.
So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like sometimes you just got to fucking fuck the bullshit.
Yep.
Just do whatever, like what you want to do, you know, all these cliche sayings that, you know, growing up or whatever, it's like one of those things, it's they're really true, you know what I mean? It's like you have to find what drives you, what makes you passionate about what you're doing, and because then it makes it so authentic
that
it just makes sense.
And you know what was crazy is going on this journey, because I'm going to be on this one for a while, I'm learning that the more that I can replace my negatives with positives, like, and that being said, like let's say somebody's struggling with drinking, you know, like finding just an outlet that, and it takes effort, like, you know, not everybody like can just do it like this, but like, you know, people who do have like issues like that, finding an outlet to like replace something that you're struggling with, like, is like how I really started being able to get better. And rather than sticking on it, because I was like, if I keep ignoring it, I'm gonna keep getting the same result over and over and over again. And
it's insanity.
And I was like, we don't need to keep doing that because it's been years. So I was like, something's got to change. So
well, I'm happy for you and your new journey. So let's talk about, you had a, you know, a fight in London.
Yes.
How is that whole preparation? Like, this is something completely new. Like you said, this whole thought and idea was 4 months ago. So even just like saying, hey, you're going to do it. Like, how long did the preparation take? How was it to get like punched in the face the first time by another opponent? And I saw clips of things of talking shit and being like the bad person and throwing a fish thing. Like, is that just like what you're wanting to be, that persona, like the bad guy? Like, what is all of that about, Miss Morgan Lee?
So I guess we go to that stuff. So, okay, so for this fight, I had about a month and a half to train for this fight. And I, because when they asked me, at this time,
had you been punched in the face or been anything?
No, I mean, I've been in street fights.
Yeah.
And so, like,
but in a, like, different, it's different. Type of thing. Yes. Organized. Boxing.
Yes, no, never like that before. Okay. So, you know, when I'm doing this, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm
like, fuck training. It, let's get punched in the face. Let's go.
Yeah. Girl, when I would first start sparring before I was going to London, I got my ass whooped.
And I'm when sure, I girl, say, I work out at a boxing gym and those people get worked on. And I'm like, that's why I'm like, not for me. I'll be the ring girl and be real cute, but yeah, not for me.
She's like, no, girl, I tell you, I literally get hit in the
I'll
gut.
Drop it, my ass will shake, but
she
not
said
for
no.
Me.
She's like, I'll be laughing out here while you're on the ground.
And I'll be rooting for you. Like, I for love sure. boxing. Yeah. I just, for me, I'm just like, oh no.
Oh no, honey. No. Yeah, no. It's one of those things. Okay, honestly, the only reason why this is a good sport for me is because I got that little craziness in me that likes this shit.
But that's why I think it works is because, you've always seemed to me from afar, not knowing you've always seemed feisty.
Yeah.
You've kind of seen like in a sense lost, but you've always like kind of like just been like scrappy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I feel like in those senses, like why it's good for fighting is because you're always on guard.
Yes.
Now replacing that with emotional things to like a physical task is why I think in the great, like moving to where you are at, like in this journey in life is really good for you.
Totally.
Is redirecting that anger to those things.
Totally.
But I also, and I don't know, and you know, this is my two cents. I say I'm Dr. Texas. I don't have a PhD at all. But I also think that if you have it in place, like you can only ignore certain things for so long. Mm-hmm. And therapy is really helpful in a lot of ways of knocking down walls even more than obviously we are our best person to be our teacher and, you know, learning of things. But sometimes it takes people to get things into our deep inner sides of us to really go to the next level of healing and learning grace about yourself. Mm-hmm. And like you've done a really great job of navigating through your life, whatever. But I really think that you would benefit from having just someone who's an unbiased person. You know, I think that therapy comes in different ways now. It's not something that you could have to like be a counseling. There's life coaches. There's people that can like have outlets. But something that could really give grace to you is because I feel like there's a lot more unleashing that you need to do emotionally to really shine in what you're meant
to be. For sure.
And that's why I think, again, I appreciate you sharing your story
with me.
You know, the, you know, private talk and also like being vulnerable like you are. Like I said, for me, I've struggled with vulnerability. I'm very like a tough shell about things, but the last couple of years and the journey in life work that I've done, I've been working on my vulnerability. And so I've always like show praise to people that do that because you do it so naturally, which I think that that is a really good guide to where your healing can go. But there you need another little nudge to get there, you know what I mean? And that's okay, you know, you get on your own time. But I think that, you know, if you just feel, you know, seen and heard in a safe space and knowing that what, you know, your journey, what you went through and things like the bad parts was never your fault, nothing that you ever did, it's just, you know, it needs a place to be redirect those emotions and feelings to positive things, to knowing that, you know what I mean, why those things happen in a positive grace.
And you're very right about that. You know what? I'm going to listen to you on that.
Dr. Texas knows a lot of things.
I'm going to listen to you on that. Only because I've actually been having kind of like a yearning for something like that recently. I've been kind of, you know, doing everything on my own. And I'm needing to give myself grace. More grace than I usually do.
But that's what happens, what comes with really healing. Until you realize what grace means. And what gratitude means. And what, you know, the of what you've crawled out of and what and giving yourself that you're, you know, you know, a successful woman. Give yourself praise. You know, people, you know, you have a platform that you can speak on from anything from boxing to whatever. You have supporters, you have people that love you, that look on, like look in on you when you have problems with anything from the soap thing to men to the business or whatever, you know what I mean? So to think the positive and those negative things, like you said before, is changing those negatives to positive. It's, you know, the feelings that we have that are negative or things in our past that we've all had. Unfortunately, we have to like make those feelings something that are positive and know that, you know, at the time that may have worked for you, but it no longer serves you. So let it go.
Let it go.
All right, we're going to play Truth with Texas. This is my favorite part of the whole thing because we get a little naughtier. But all right, how it works is we're going to go through four different types of questions, kinky, naughty, romantic, and spicy, and get to know you a little bit more intimately.
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to start with spicy questions.
Cool.
Do you like dirty talk?
I love it.
Can you give us an example?
Like, I love when a guy calls me their little slut, like, while they're, you know, like, when they're fucking me from behind, they're like, oh, you're a little slut.
Okay.
Like,
okay, slut talk. You love like to be slut. Slutted out.
Love to be a little slut.
Have you ever thrown up during sex?
No.
Never.
Okay. Maybe one of the, like, the deep throat challenges. Like,
you threw
our
up
industry,
and you swallowed it?
But no, not like, I don't think I've like, maybe because a dick went too far down. But I don't think I've thrown up, like, having sex.
Well, normally I think of it more in the sense of, like, if you were giving a blowjob and, like, you were, you know, getting throat fucked. And did you throw up?
No.
Never.
I don't think so, no.
Throat champ. That's my girl.
Let's go.
That's my girl.
Let's go.
Girl.
Okay.
All right. Have you ever broken up with somebody because they were bad in bed?
No, because I haven't had that happen yet.
Nice try.
Yes.
What's the craziest place you've ever had sex?
Movie theater.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
And that was risque, okay?
Okay.
That was high school.
Oh.
Dirty floor.
Dirty. You were on the floor?
Oh, you were even on the seat? In the front, because no one goes in the front. It's just dragging ass cheeks.
Can't people see people in the front? You're looking down.
No one was in there, but you could hear ass cheeks sliding. Oh, man, I don't even remember. This was probably like 10 years ago.
Was it the Titanic?
That
was
no, I don't think so.
Maybe similar. Too soon.
I know, right?
Too soon. Toys in the bedroom.
Love them.
You love them?
Hitachi.
Okay, but you use that during with somebody else?
Yeah. I mean,
but you don't get jealous?
Okay.
My person would get jealous because I'm all about the Hitachi, but that's a personal, like, it's a one-on-one time. My Hitachi's name is Bob. We had a relationship for many years.
Yeah.
But, like, bringing it when the dick is there?
Well, I think I like to get both stimulated. Like, I'm like, fuck you. If you're going to come like that, I better fucking come like that, too. So
when do you bring it out? Like, what minute? Is it, like, right away? Off? Is it just laying in bed?
No,
so it's,
no,
like, the
no,
thir- it's
no,
a threesome like, at all times?
No, this is, like, we're still going, and I want to get off again.
You're like, he's like, what are you reaching for?
Yeah. And I'm like, you're behind me. I'm like, just turn it on, slide it underneath real quick. You're gonna know.
See, I'm a multiple comer though. Like, I'm coming about like 7 times in a session for sure. And it's not even like, it doesn't even have to be that long. Like, I can make myself come. But I feel like the Hitachi for me is like after the 5th time, and like, cause it's a different kind of coming, and it's like already in like, and you know, your lady parts are already like, you know, in flames because you know you're coming, and it's, So I feel like then, cause I'll even have sex and then as soon as they leave, and I'm like, I need to go back to my Hitachi.
Yeah.
One or maybe 2 more times.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was gonna say like, okay, I don't do it all the time. It's only like when I really, really want to get off. I did have a guy that I was dating, though, who literally wanted me to use it every time we were fucking. And that's all he does, saying over and over and over again. I was like, what the fuck?
But, I mean, it kind of gets, like, there's not a lot of space for both.
There's not. It's so big.
Yeah, that's why I'm like,
bigger than all, this.
Exactly. So it's imagine this and then,
I know, it's a lot.
Okay, but the Hitachi is the only thing you bring into the bedroom.
Yeah, I'm not really going to bring another dick.
No,
I think that's...
Would you do any ass play on your man if he wanted it? As far as, like, toys.
If he wanted it, toys, no. Then I'm like, no, we have a
you
problem.
You said a hard no.
You need to re-tell me what you wanted before you got in a relationship with me.
I mean, don't men like that?
Yes, I think more now.
You know what's crazy? So we have, I got to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because, so apparently, allegedly.
Yes.
Hold on. How old are you?
30.
Okay, how old is, you're in a relationship currently?
Yes.
He's how old?
23.
Okay, yeah, great question for you. All right, so allegedly, I don't know if you call them men boys. I don't really know at this point. But allegedly, these men are out here sitting on women's faces.
What? What? What did you say?
Yeah.
Like, they're squatting on their faces?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I need a picture.
You have a 23-year-old boyfriend. He's not squatting on your face?
No, is this a new Gen Z thing?
I think so.
Oh my God.
I've been told by a female friend and also a male friend on different occasions, like, he got made fun of by the younger people because they were talking about, like, oh, you don't do that? Like, oh, you're not cool. And he's like, I don't want any parts of that.
Yeah.
That is not cool.
No.
And then I had a girlfriend said that it happened to her in the backseat of a car. And so, in the backseat of a car, too. So I was talking earlier and I was like, is this something you talk about beforehand?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm gonna sit on your face, or like, do you like give do you give the A-OK? Like, it's like anal. Like, how do you know what the limits? And if someone, your boyfriend, right? If like tonight, and he, you know, this isn't live, but what if he, if y'all are gonna like fuck. And he just started, he squatted over your face.
Like, this is what goes on. Like, think about
it. Or say he was you were sucking his dick, right? He was standing up and then you just told him to sit on your face.
Yeah, no, it sounds fun. Okay, like, I'm literally picturing in my head right now of the scenario of it happening right now. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to sit on your face. And I'm gonna be like, yeah, you want me to sit on your face? And he's like, no, I want to sit on your face. What did you say? You want to sit on my face? Fuck no.
So you'd say
hell no.
So you're an abort mission.
Yes.
What if
he, I'm going to get pink eye.
What if he was laying on his back and he did the Jan sport and he held both of his legs back?
Like, okay. I've had somebody.
See?
Look. Do that I.
See?
Yeah. And I'm like, it crosses a line.
But how long do they hold their legs back in?
A minute.
Until
a long time.
But how long do they hold it before you actually put a tongue there? Or like, how long do you, like, you just like sit they there until it's invited? Like, they 30 seconds?
The tongue. They expected the tongue right away. It wasn't like, it was right away.
So did you do it?
Yeah. And then I was like, but then I thought about it too. And you want to know what was weird? As I was like, why is this so natural for this person?
Because he's done it a lot. You don't just...
Which worried me. Because I was like, who did I involve myself with?
You just don't Jansport just to Jansport. You've been Jansporting a long time.
You know what was even weirder?
Please tell us.
Booty hole.
Was gaping?
At that, no. When they wanted me to lick their asshole that day.
Was it clean?
It tasted like it had lube already.
Oh.
Like, around it. Because it tasted not...
But why do you pre-lube your asshole?
But that's what I was going to say. He had no idea I was going to do it, is the thing. But so that's why I was like, did you get probed before this happened?
Oh.
Because I was like, there's no way.
But
like
don't
this.
You think that he...
You had to be a pro.
But if he was pro, why would he be Jansporting? If I got fucked in my ass, I'm not putting my asshole out to get licked
again. I think somebody maybe was like, maybe they're like,
maybe he was prepping his asshole so you could do something for him. But
no, because he didn't know I was going to do it. There's no way.
But he just had like a preemptuous thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, she'll do it. She's down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I feel like people are like, oh, well, she's done porn before. Why won't she do it? And I'm like, because I have boundaries. Like, there's things called, you're not sitting on my face. If a man sat on my face, I would die laughing. I would leave.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on who it was. But I definitely would still die laughing, but I don't know if I'd leave.
Would you let them at least straddle your face and then leave?
Absolutely.
Or not even there?
I would laugh and I'd be like, you have to be out of your mind.
Okay. Yeah.
If I liked the person. Then if I didn't know them, which we would never be in this situation, but I would be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, the fact, like, how do you do it? Do you spread and squat? Do you, like, because, you know.
What are you spreading, though? Your asshole or your balls?
Because they're sitting on your face for you to lick their asshole.
Oh, I'm thinking ball sacks.
No, they want.
I'm thinking, like, dick. Face, I'm thinking, like, dick and balls.
Think about it. Like, I've sat on a lot of faces in my life. Like, I suffocate people, let's be honest. So, for a guy, they're eating my ass. So, a guy, they're going to spread their ass so you can lick their ass, not to lick their balls. Because why you gotta sit on your face for that? I guess you could get both at the same time, but.
So.
We're gonna look at your boyfriend real
differently. I need to do this plug, man, because this is crazy. That's crazy. Oh my god, y'all doing too much out here. What are you gonna do next?
With all that said, what's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you sexually?
Ooh.
It could be on set. It could be in person, in your real life.
Fuck. I think it would have to be.
Don't be lying to us either,
Mom. Oh man, I think it would be me. Me doing it?
What'd you do?
I mean, maybe it was like maybe something where like. Like, yep. I was on set doing anal, and maybe, like, I shit myself because it was that jelly shit in there.
So you shit
like a sneeze shit, though. Okay. I think I did that one time.
You can't just say you think. You definitely did.
Yeah.
It's okay. It happens to people.
I'm not the only one, though, okay? This is just porn problems.
This is, you know, this couch is to be safe, private talk. You know what I mean? Normally, it's the same one at all times, but this season, we're jumping around couches because we'd be thought normal season long.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry, but when you're doing anal over and over.
You did a lot of anal in your career.
I did for a little bit, yeah. Okay. I was really, like, starting
I was never the anal girl. I've done, like, I mean, a handful of them.
You would have been fucking thriving but, so much.
But that's why is like they wanted to shove every big
thing in my asshole. I'm sure they would have went crazy with you.
I mean, when they did, but when, but that's why I did a select handful because
so great.
And only because and my ex-husband did like probably half of them. I think I did probably two or three after that. I don't know. There was very select few of these.
Yeah.
But only because for me it was nothing that I like. I never did that before porn, yeah. So it's like I wasn't really like into it. But it's like something I really have to be like into. So it's like.
Mm.
The fact of me having the really big ass and being known for my ass
yes.
and being around girls that were known for their ass yeah. and being fucked by the biggest fucking cocks ever, yeah. I got a little intimidated, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So I was like, you know, you take that one, girl. You go have a job at it. So I'm going to stay over here and I'll support you, cheerleader, see? I know my lanes. And also because it's one of those things, too, when it goes back to being like authentically yeah. into things you like, it's like, why does somebody want to see me have the biggest thing and I don't like it?
Yeah, you know, like you're painful, really not for that.
I mean,
yeah.
that's why with my ex-husband is I enjoyed him because he knew how to like relax me, like totally. And really like get me to the point where I needed to like be and I could have a great time.
Totally.
And it wasn't like whatever. So
totally. Yeah,
limits to that thing.
I have a question. How does it feel knowing that you had the best ass in the industry?
Well, thank you. I mean, I wouldn't say that, but I mean, I've heard that. I've gotten some awards.
There's
for
a
that.
Lot of people who say.
I've gotten some awards for that.
Yes.
You know, for me, I think it's cool. I think that I didn't really get really embrace it until like the later years of my career.
Okay.
I think that it's fascinating to talk to people, even like yourself or whatever,
yeah.
to have like, you know, in the beginning of the conversation being like, whoa, I was intimidated to talk to you, so I didn't really know. But
yeah.
everyone's like, oh, we cheer you on.
Totally.
And I always got the love, but I never got the talking we up to people is because it's like, oh, you're intimidating, which I always got that. And
yeah.
I also understood too, is because I'm not the most like, hey, just talking to people. But if you mm-hmm. talk to me, I'll talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and I'm about real conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me a little bit longer to let go of my ego because
yeah.
I didn't need to have one. And
yeah.
everyone sometimes there's are vulnerable in different ways where it's like, this you guys sometimes or other people or myself sometimes too would be like I'd be intimidated to talk to people or they didn't know how to talk to me or vice versa. So
for
it's like
sure.
if we just talk to people like we're people, you get a lot further along. So for me it was just even having my peers appreciate me for my biggest asset.
Yeah.
It's cool
yeah.
to be like, you know, get awards for whatever
yeah.
is because, you know, I mean I was born with it. You know, I was really, you know,
mm-hmm.
blessed. So for me it's like the gratitude of knowing my place in this industry
mm-hmm.
and having like, you know, that accolade is really heartwarming. So
I love that.
I like it.
Hell yeah, girl.
Hey, all right, let's do romantic questions.
Oh, fun.
Making out or cuddling?
Oh, I love both.
Gotta pick one.
Cuddle.
Cut or uncut?
Cut.
You were very
please. I'm sorry.
Please. Sex life. Well, let's see. Let's move to this. If your sex life had a title of a song, what would it be?
Push and Pee.
Okay. Well, have you ever answered a phone call during sex?
Yes.
What was the call?
I think it was my parents. But we did it on purpose.
You got excited. I think it was my parents. And he kept going?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Were you on the phone long?
It's just conversation. Like, it was like a combo that it was like we hung
20?
Up and it wasn't like we had to get off right away, but...
Okay. You did the damn thing. Dinner or a movie?
Dinner.
What are your biggest turn-ons?
Ooh, a smile and manners.
Mm. Mm. Sex on the first date?
Never.
Giving or receiving?
Giving.
Lights on or lights off?
Off.
Foreplay or sex? Just one.
Sex.
I know you like both.
I know.
What is your deal breakers?
I'd say like too cocky. People are too out there.
Okay.
Like I like quiet.
Okay.
Laid back.
Naked or lingerie?
Lingerie.
Favorite place to be kissed?
My neck.
Ooh. All right, kinky questions.
Yes.
Have you ever woken up next to someone you didn't know their name?
No, thank God.
You're like, scanning through your
oh my God, that would be bad.
Favorite time of day to have sex?
Nights.
How many times Wait, most number of times of sex you've had in one day?
I think 8.
And number of partners?
1.
8 times one partner.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Ever had a partner that was too kinky?
Yes. Yes.
What was their kink?
It was just like too much storytelling about other girls. It was a turn off.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
Bondage, yes or no?
No.
Any fetishes?
Surprisingly, no. I don't think so. Not that I've learned.
Okay. Yeah. Not that I've learned yet.
Yeah, not yet.
All right, naughty questions, which is our favorite here at Private Talk. Choked or spanked?
Choked.
Lube or spit?
Spit.
Handcuffs or blindfold?
Handcuffs.
Are you a part of the Mile High Club?
No. Isn't that the plane thing? Is that when you, like, suck and fuck dick on?
You have sex on a plane.
I haven't done that.
Goals.
That's a goal, though. Yes. I, you know.
I'm a member.
Are you? Oh, girl, so, fuck yeah. Okay. I love that.
I like to always tell everybody when we play this game. You know, I gotta let them know Miss Texas had it. It was fun. It's fun, spontaneous, you know. It's fun.
Ooh, risque.
Have you ever had a threesome in your personal life?
Yes.
Oral sex, sloppy or clean?
Sloppy.
Have you ever faked an orgasm?
Yes.
Can we hear what that faking orgasm sounds like?
Oh, fuck.
Did you believe her private talk? I could have. But I know it was.
I don't even know if that was what I really did. Fuck.
Oh, well. The porno robot was on.
Fuck yeah.
So what is your biggest turn off?
In bed? Mm-hmm. I say slapping.
Slapping.
Yeah, in the face. Hitting too hard.
What is something completely off limits in the bedroom?
I would say me sucking on someone's toes.
You're not a toe person. I don't think we'd be compatible. I have a foot fetish.
Do you really?
I love feet.
Oh!
Love them.
I can't do it. I don't know what it is. It's just something about them. They freak me out.
Love them.
No, you can have them.
Yeah.
She said bring them over.
They're great. I mean, now, it's not like just the gross. I mean, it has to depend. I can't just stick anything in my mouth. But if they are like manicured and like, you know, not like gangly feet. Like,
okay.
You know, whatever.
But like.
I like the arches. I like the way feet are. Like, I mean, if they're ugly, I'm not going to put them in my feet. Like, I mean, yeah. In my mouth, in my feet. But. All of your nerve endings are on the bottom of your feet. So it's like the most sensual thing that you do. So like my favorite thing is being fucked in missionary and having my foot sucked on because it's like double orgasms, you know?
That sounds fun.
You know, I'm like, eat your cake or
have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm that type of bitch.
I like that girl. Smart over here.
Okay, let's see. What is the worst hookup story that you have been a part of?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the one I want to hear.
Oh, I don't even know what happened. I legitimately was like, did I get abused or what the fuck? So I woke up and my whole face was like, had blood on it. And I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, this is weird. And then like, I go in the mirror, my lips super fucking swollen. I couldn't figure out what happened. There's this guy that I had hooked up with. And I know that we got super fucked up, but I don't know what happened. So, and this is what freaked me out. So, I thought I got, like, my ass beat or something. Because, you know the little connector under your lip? Mm-hmm. Like, that skin? That was, like, completely ripped off.
What happened?
That's what I'm saying. So, I'm like, I have, like, blood coming out of my mouth, like, all this shit. And I'm like, what the fuck happened? I literally couldn't piece it together. I didn't ask. I didn't want to know.
So he's just sleeping and you have blood all your
face? He was gone. He was one of my friends that we just hooked up. And I was like, maybe I hit my face on something. Because I was like, I know for a fact that he didn't hit me. So I just was like really confused. And I was like, no, I'm not going to say anything.
So you just don't know what happened?
Nope. Don't know.
And you just didn't care to ask?
Nope. Had the worst hangover.
So what happens to that thingy? Does it grow back?
No, it's gone. I thought my lip was fucked. I thought my lip was going to, like, go sideways. Like, I thought it was a muscle.
that connects it, you know?
I would be freaked the fuck
out.
Oh,
I was freaking out. So, like, now I don't have anything. I can, like, lift my lip all
the way up. You know? A little party trick, you know? You know?
Yeah. I don't know what, but that was probably the most weird thing that happened to me. Because I know we fucked.
And I was like, and he knew you fucked.
I know we fucked. But my face was fucked
and he
up.
He never even said anything about the night at all. Like, nope. He never talked about it. No. To this day. Just, are y'all still friends?
Yeah. And I just don't want to bring it up. I don't want to know.
But I feel like if something severe happened, he would tell you, no?
That's what I was
saying,
or
he would be like, it would be so traumatic. Or not traumatic, but you know, be like, oh, that was great. And
yeah, like I said that. I remember I was like, anything happened? I was like, I had a little bit of blood on my face. And he was like, I don't know.
A little bit, bitch. You had a whole fucking...
And then he literally acted like nothing was wrong. So I was like...
If those walls could talk.
Right?
What had happened, right? Though? And what had happened?
I never black out. Never. So I was like...
That's an interesting one.
It was a weird
And the fact
one.
That you don't even want to inquire, I think is, you know, a really bold move. Bold
I know,
move.
Right? Like, let's just make it a... Let's just...
Sweet. All right, so the last thing, that's the rest of Truth with Texas. Yes. So you've had a little bit of some Twitter drama going on recently. What is all the spiel of all this whole thing? You, someone in your boxing camp talking about that he fucked you, didn't fuck you, and they were talking about, is something with Lauren always never going to go away because of boxing? Is that something that is, like, resurfacing, or is this something that's a legitimate terms going on?
Okay, so, like, I don't know what the fuck this came from, so...
Because yeah, I saw for you the person that he who it is.
Yeah,
you were cheering him on at his fight, like totally. You were like in his corner. So then I like when I saw you repost the thing, I was like,
he's my manager.
Like, you know what? Like, and how does that even happen?
So
like,
yeah, so he's my manager. And
what is he still your manager?
Yes, and this is the thing is, and obviously, like, you know, I'm not gonna speak crazy about anything, but long story short, I'm so. Even to now, so fucking frustrated because I have been friends with this person for 5-6 years. We were roommates. We lived together. I let you in my home, okay? And the person that he sent those texts to, I have the actual, like, I have the actual gist of everything, who he sent it to. We had to cut off the name because we didn't want people to know. I know who everybody is. I know this is real. I know all of it is, not fake. Yeah. So to me, I know you said that. And I'm like, all the other stuff you've been doing that I haven't publicly said, you really are not, like, a good friend. I was like, I can't even be friends with somebody like you because I've seen how you move.
Yeah.
How you've talked, how you've done things years ago, even. Yeah. And what I've seen you do now, I'm like, fuck no. So to me, I'm like, and to be my manager, he was supposed to help me throughout the whole fight. I was literally, like, so stressed out before my fight, like, because I had no help. I had no help with everything, because there was drama going on with him, with other shit going on, that he couldn't, like, focus on me, and it caused all this shit. And then it was this, like, oh, and I'm like, fuck you, bro. I'm like, this is crazy. And the boxing, I'll say this, the boxing world is very dramatic.
Mm.
Super fucking dramatic.
And I feel like it's very small, too.
Yeah. Like, everybody knows each other.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about each other. Everybody's saying that
So have you confronted him personally, or is just everything...
If I do, I'll freak out.
Yeah.
I'll snap. Everybody knows I'll snap. I had literally had to tell the people who were talking to him about it. I was like, you guys need to know.
Let me give you some Dr. Texan advice. You could take it, you could not, you could do whatever you want, but just, like, an ending of a good note of, like, where the progression everything is. And it does suck to somebody to be, that's supposed to be in your corner, that's not there, whatever.
Yes.
But I feel like there comes a time and a place where there's no need to fight something if it's not true. So therefore, you state your standards and your boundaries of what you will and will not accept from someone who's supposed to be a manager or whatever.
Yeah.
But to go back and forth, whatever, is not going to solve anything.
Yeah.
I think that you should state that you're really, you know, upset because of, you know, the relationship that you thought you had. And obviously it isn't the same that it was.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, if you hear all the things that you're feeling and your emotions aren't wrong, but placing them into words and letting someone know that how, you know, disappointed that you are, that it could have been a lot different, I think it speaks volumes more about who you are trying to be.
Totally.
And in the corner of the where you need to go is because at the end of the day, you know, I don't know, you know, if you have a contract or what that case is too, but it's also you don't want to, if things could be fixed, you know what I mean? If there was a friendship there or whatever, and there is respect there, then, you know, possibly whatever. But once you, like, cross certain lines, it's hard to go back regardless. So it's just like, again, you are a human, you are a great person, you are, you know, an evolved woman, and you don't need to take any disrespect from anybody, but expressing what you want moving forward is how we correct things.
And I totally agree with that. And that's also, you know, a reason why I haven't, like, said too much.
Yeah.
Because...
But I think that the personal conversation first...
For sure. For sure.
Happen.
And I want
cool
to.
Down, when you cool down. You know what I mean? And that's the thing is, like, when you're heated into anything, nothing is going to get resolved either.
Totally. But
I definitely think that respect of what that is maybe it's a misunderstanding. Maybe he was joking. Maybe guys try to be what, you know, guys are silly at the end of the day. You know
what I mean? And you're right. I think, for me, like I said, I think I get a little bit heated.
You have triggers. And you can tell because, again, it's things that you haven't worked through, whatever. But I think that, again, it's. When you do, and when you will, I think that you'll figure out why, and it's nothing that's crazy.
Totally.
Because you're in the right.
Totally.
It's just not making that feeling not into anger, into something from compassion.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right about that. And you know what? I am going to do that. Because that's really what I should be doing. I don't want to get angry about it. Of course I feel hurt.
Of course. And that's valid, but you know, but hurt doesn't need to come out in something that's like tumultuous.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
And I think that that's what shows growth.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know what I mean? Again, but feel your feelings.
Yes.
Your feelings are, you know, are valid.
Yes.
But it's also like finding a common place. Really. But finding a common place where your feelings can actually be heard, because when you're shouting, no one's listening.
Yep.
You know? Yep. So it's, you know, you have to find what those common grounds are.
That's very smart.
So
is the end of Truth with Texas. Is there anything you want to ask Miss Texas before you get off the private talk couch?
Honestly, like I just am super happy I got to come on here. Like watching you, like you empowered me. Like you're definitely someone I look up to. So just know that. Yeah, like especially coming from our industry. You've been somebody I've been watching for a long time, and like I'm here to support you, girl, and your journey. Yeah, and I just love what you're doing, and I'm so happy that you've created the space, you know, for us to come on and talk and do all this. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Yes. Please let us know where we can support you, follow you, and all those things.
You guys could follow me at Real Lil Kimchi on my Instagram, and then my Twitter is Lil Kimchi. So, and to spell that, it's LILKYMCHII. So thank you guys so much for having me.
All right, Private Talk, until we meet again.
This episode is sponsored by Bet Online.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.